Lord, we give you thanks. We celebrate the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. I know we're living in a day, and it's because we're in such an information age. This generation, we have more access to more information than any generation that's ever lived. I mean, to tell you, it's just 24/7. And you don't have to raise your hand, but according to studies, the first thing a lot of people do when they wake up in the morning is look at the phone. Check the information. Okay? Information. Bombarded with information all day long. And so, you know, a lot of the news in the social media, a lot of the news in the public media is negative. All right, I'm going to just shoot real straight with you because you know that's what I do. But I'm going to tell you, honestly, you cannot live a spiritual life and be worldly minded. Okay? Hey, the Word of God's real clear that we are to think on those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, those things that are just. Hey, we're to think on things of love. Okay? And that tunes in our heart to receive from the Lord. And so that's where we're to focus on. We're to focus on the promises and not on the problems. Now, there's a problem when you're bombarded with the problems. Because when you're bombarded with the problems, that's what you take in. And what takes in troubles your heart. Jesus made it real clear, do not let your heart be troubled. Isn't that what he said? Don't let your heart be troubled. Now, if he said, don't let your heart be troubled, it means there's a choice. We don't have to let our heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, you believe also in me. Let's practice believing. Let's practice in focusing on the promises and not the problems. Because I want to tell you, when you hear over and over and over again a number of times a day, how many people are getting sick, how many people are dying. Let me tell you what you're not hearing. You're not hearing how many people were not getting sick. You're not hearing how many people have recovered. You're not hearing how many people didn't go to the hospital. Okay, I'm just sharing with you that when you hear negative news over and over again through the day, you tend to think negatively. I want to tell you something about the Word of God, about the promises of God, about the Spirit of God. It's positive. And it will enrich your life and not drain your life. And so we have to make a real choice whether we're going to experience the drain of life or the enriching of life. And I want to tell you, spiritual mindedness brings peace and joy. Hey, the Word of God says that when we keep our mind on Him, He will keep us in perfect peace. And so, hey, we've had enough troubled hearts in our lifetime. Let's practice living in a peaceful heart. How about a joyful heart? How about a thanksgiving heart? How about a heart that's believing for God's best and not the world's worst? I want to tell you that preacher, I hadn't even read a scripture yet. Okay, but here we go. We're going to look at Psalm 91. And I know you may be thinking, well, you know, we've heard a lot from you on Psalm 91. Well, let's hear some more. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And so the battle's not over yet. And so, you know what? We need to renew and continue in our faith. Not fear. Okay? He didn't call us to fear. The Bible's real clear. He did not give us a spirit of fear. And so if He didn't give us fear, who does? The enemy does. See, y'all know this so much, y'all can preach it with me, can't you? It's all right. Witness to the preaching. It makes me preach faster. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of peaceful mind. You see that? You want that? You want to live that way? Well, He paid the price not just for you to have a ticket to heaven. He paid the price for you to have abundant life here on earth. And so we want to walk in that as much as possible, don't we? Hey, it's His desire, it's His will for His will to be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, he taught us even to pray that way. Well, I want to tell you, his will for you is his peace and his love and his joy. His will for you is not a disturbed and troubled heart. And so let's practice being receivers. Believers are receivers. Okay? All right, let's look at it. Psalm 91. I hope you're excited about it. Don't let the familiarity. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you this. I shared with a pastor just during the holidays. I shared with a pastor that was not familiar with Psalm 91. Okay, I know. We've been promoting it for years. But I met with a pastor, shared with him out of Psalm 91, and he wasn't familiar with it. And he kept saying this, "Wow, that really says that." And I said, "Yeah, that's God really saying that about your life, your people." And so he was just absolutely amazed, and I love to see people amazed with the Word of God. But when you look at the Word of God, do not come with a mindset of familiarity. Come with a mindset of hungering and thirsty. Be thirsty for what the Lord wants to say to you. Hey, I know you may even have it memorized. Some people here do. And I know you may have it memorized, but I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is so powerful about giving us a fresh rhema word, where the Logos becomes rhema, where it becomes revelation to you, where you see the Lord in a clearer way. That's what revelation is. And the Holy Spirit loves to show that. And the Holy Spirit is so powerful because he's our guide, he's our teacher. He's so powerful about making it personal. Would you like for Jesus to make these truths personal to your life today? Well, the way to go. Because you're in agreement with the Lord, because that's what he wills for you today. And when you agree with the Lord and you pray his will, you get it. All right? What great promises. Okay, let's look at this. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, he who dwells in the secret place. Let me just announce to you, because I'm going to kind of try to run through this and just point out some highlights, and then hopefully next week we'll dig a little deeper on it. But I just want to point out some highlights to get you off to a good start, is that dwelling in the secret place, the way you do that is that you practice enjoying his presence. How long has it been since you've practiced enjoying his presence? Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying, reading the scripture of the day. Saying the memorized prayer of the day. Reading a little devotional. Those are all good. I'm not throwing cold water on those. Those can be the diving board to get you in the pool of his presence. But how many of you know that you can dance around on the diving board and not get in the pool? Well, I'm trying to tell you that what the Lord wants is that dwelling in the secret place is enjoying his presence. Now, let me back it down a little bit simpler. How long has it been since you've really taken time to enjoy him? He's rich. He's lovely. How long has it been since you've beheld his beauty? Since you've enjoyed his majesty? How long has it been since you've let the personal shepherd love on you in a personal way? That's your Lord. And I want to tell you, according to what's happened on the cross, we have complete, total access to his presence. And we can enjoy fellowship with him. Let me tell you the very primary thing that God wants out of your life. And I know some of you are thinking, what is it, giving? Is it obedience? And no. Hey, I'm telling you the primary purpose for you is enjoying his presence, is fellowship with him. That's what he saved you for, is fellowship. Now, out of that communion with him, out of that intimacy with him, out of that love life with him, so much happens in the kingdom of God. But I'm announcing to you, according to the Bible, according to what Jesus taught, hey, I'm telling you out of the New Testament, nothing happens in the kingdom that lasts without love. is to be saturated, to be based, to be flowing out of His love. And without love, according to what Corinthians says, out of love, you can give the biggest gift ever in the offering plate, and it's not even counted in heaven if it's not given out of a heartbeat of love. You could sacrifice yourself and die for others, but if it's not based out of love, it doesn't count. Well, I don't have time to preach that, but I'm telling you that's there. That's why that what He wants the most, if you could really hear the Father's heart, is for you, His son and His daughter, to get up in His lap and let Him love on you. How long? Let's enjoy His presence. You see, have your quiet time. We teach that. Have time with the Lord. Have time in prayer. Have time in communion. But its most important thing is for you to connect with Him. You understand it's possible to go through the motions. You understand there are people in churches all over the world today that are going through the motions of worship, going through the motions of hearing a message or the Word of God, and not meeting with God, not connecting with God. There is no relationship without communication. And a lot of the church is taught that communication with God is just one way. You give them your shopping list. There's so much more to that. There's so much more to love life with the Lord than a shopping list. I'm telling you, He wants to interact with you. Jesus loves interaction with you. And so this is how you practice the dwelling in the secret place. And when you practice His presence and enjoy His presence, love life with Him back and forth, interacting. That is dwelling. That's camping out in the secret place. And those that practice His presence shall remain stable. You're going to be standing on the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. You're going to be standing on a foundation that's solid and that's sure. And you're going to be fixed. I want to tell you somebody, if you're fixed, it means that you're rooted in. Okay, you're anchored. Somebody say anchored. Well, He is your anchor. And when you're anchored in Him, you're under the shadow of the Almighty. And it's the presentation that you are under His wings. And His shadow means that He is standing right beside you. And I want to tell you, it's beautiful. I saw a calf on a ranch about 2 years ago. I was fishing on this little lake and the calf was just born. It was very fresh. And I was enjoying watching. And this little fellow, you know, was experiencing the newness of life. And it didn't take but just a little while, and he was slap wore out already. And he laid down there on the ground. And this was kind of out toward northwest Texas, and the sun was pretty bright. And I saw Mama, I tell you, it's just interesting. I saw Mama come and stand over that calf so that that calf wasn't in the sun, but was in her shadow. And I want to tell you what that is. That's love. I want to tell you, she didn't have to go to a seminar to learn how to do that. That was innate in her. That was a mother's love. I'm telling you about the Father's love. When you practice His presence, you are under His shadow. He is overshadowing you. He is your covering. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, that ought to encourage you. Now, verse 1, we practice His presence. Verse 2, we profess and confess who He is. He says, I will say of the Lord. Did you know that we have a part in walking in the divine protection of the Lord? Yes, we do. Well, you say, well, the Lord will just do it anyway. I want to tell you, the promises of God need to be applied. Okay? They need to be appropriated. They need to be practiced. It's wrong just to assume and presume that since He's God, He's protecting you anyway. Yes, He is, but there's a part for us to play. I'm telling you, a lot of the promises of God, a lot of the walk as a Christian, is not what the Lord does without us, is what the Lord does with us. What I'm talking about is your cooperation. I want to tell you, He loves you. He loves you enough. He paid for everything that you'll need in this life and the next. But I want to tell you, there's a purpose and there's a plan to His heart for you. And He won't do it without your cooperation. That's why we're going to teach this year on humility, because humility is cooperating with the Lord on every level. But I'm here to tell you, there's a part that we have to play. Do we earn it? No. Do we deserve it? No. But this is part of how we receive it, is by saying yes to God with our heart. That's your definition of faith, is saying yes to God. And so we need to cooperate. We need to participate. We need to interact. We need to appropriate the promises of God. And all the people said. And so this is part of how we do that, is that we profess and confess. Now let me just rush and say it like this. The promises of God are faith operated. The way we activate faith is by speaking. Okay, that's a part of the way God designed us to be in the kingdom, is that with our mouth we confess what He is and what He's done and what He's saying. And when we activate faith by speaking, that's when things happen. I can already see I need to back up a little bit. Let me just give you a little example. Jesus was teaching the disciples how to operate in faith. And what He told them was this. He said, you could speak to this mulberry bush. And the mulberry bush has an amazing root system. But He says, you can speak to this mulberry bush and tell this bush to get up and to be cast out, to be cast into the sea. You can speak to this mountain and tell this mountain to be taken up and cast into the sea. But I'm here to tell you something. What a lot of people do is they want to take the mulberry bush and go talk to God about it. God said, take what I've already done through Jesus and you speak to the mulberry bush. He didn't say speak to Him. He said speak to the bush. You speak to the bush about God. You don't speak to God about the bush. He's already dealt with the bush. He's already dealt with the mountain. Jesus paid for it. But we get to participate and operate. You say, well, why is it like that? Well, I want to tell you, you're not just robots. Okay? He designed you to choose to love Him, to choose to obey Him, to choose to walk with Him. We have a chooser. Hey, it's our precious opportunity, because we're here on this earth in reigning training. I want to tell you, God's got plans for you throughout eternity that are going to be so amazing. And one of the little hints that we have of what all we're going to be doing in eternity, the Bible says you're going to be ruling. I don't understand it completely. No, I hadn't studied it completely either. People here know more about it than I do. But it says you're going to be ruling over areas or over cities or over groups of people. And I want to tell you, hey, He's designed us to reign in Him. And this is the reigning training while we're here on earth right now. And so this is why we got to learn to operate by faith and out of love. Do you understand? I don't know if you do. That means another series is coming. Okay. I will say of the Lord, I will speak, I will confess, I will profess. Faith is voice activated. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. You see, it's got to go from right here to down here to out here. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. There's a lot of power in that. When I walk into a home that has a sick culture, I'm not speaking bad about the home. I'm just saying if there's a sick culture, a lot of times you can sense it and you can see it. And when I walk into a home with a sick culture, according to what Jesus told the disciples, when you walk in a home, you speak His name, you speak peace. You speak peace and grace upon that home. And if it comes back to you, if they say amen to it, you got ministry time. If they refuse it, you're not going to amount to anything there. Need to move on to somebody that's going to receive. But I'm here to tell you this, when I walk into a sick culture, I speak great grace and great peace on the house as I walk in. Some you've heard me and seen me do this, probably at your house. I speak great grace and peace. I speak healing and life in that house. There's great power when we proclaim His name. And you stop and think about Jesus putting creation into presence by speaking it to be so. Wow, how exciting this is. And he's given us the opportunity to practice. He is my refuge. That's what you confess. And he's my fortress. Boy, this is where the prayer of Jabez that's in your newsletter right now, that's where you can throw this in because it fits. Well, it is kind of my version of it. It's a little bit longer than what Jabez prayer, but it fits because we put the New Testament glasses on it. And I encourage you to take the prayer of Jabez and pray that every day. We're doing that throughout the month. He's my refuge and fortress. He's my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. You see, you got to practice. Verse 1, practicing enjoying his presence. And practice verse 2, will you confess and profess that he is my. Hey, it's personal, isn't it? You see, it's not enough for him to be Pastor Don's refuge. I mean, that's great. That'll encourage you. It's great that he's Pastor Don's fortress, but I want to tell you, this has got to be personalized where you're able to say with confidence, with complete trust, that he is my refuge and he's my fortress. Do you see what's happening? On the Lord I will rely, and him I will trust. And so I'm telling you, practice verse 1 and verse 2 till you know that you know that you know in your knower. Till you're convinced that in him I can trust. Wow, that's good. Okay, verse 3. Are you ready for some more? Verse 3. When we practice verse 1 and verse 2, this is what happens. This is what happens when we practice verse 1 and verse 2. For then he, somebody say he. This is talking about the Lord. So we practice verse 1 and 2, and this is what the Lord does. Then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Do you see that? Oh, wait, there's more. Verse 4, then he, somebody say he, will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Now, I want to tell you, it becomes armor. He becomes armor for you. But I want to tell you, the truth has got to be inside first. Okay, so take his truth and make it inside. Let the truth be real on the inside first. And then you'll see his faithfulness on the outside. Okay, I want to tell you, your eyes will be opened to see the power and the majesty and the works of God. But the truth has got to be on the inside first. You got to have agreement with it. You got to digest it. It needs to become a part of you. I want to say this to saints that are listening, that the Word of God, you need to own it. It needs to become something where different than you say, well, that's a sweet verse. No, no, it needs to be life in you. The Bible talks about that the Word is dynamite power. And so that dynamite power needs to be unleashed and released inside of you. And that happens only when it's digested. Wow. When his truth is in on the inside, we'll see his faithfulness on the outside. There is shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid. Come on now. There's a lot of fear out there today. Fear is being promoted today. A lot of people say, well, if you're not afraid, you're not paying attention. Well, you're paying attention the wrong direction. You shall not be afraid. Somebody say, no fear. Whether it's the terror of the night, nor of the arrow that flies by the day. Now, the Amplified brings out in such a beautiful way that that arrow is evil plots and slanders of the wicked. Now, I'm announcing to you the enemy has schemes. And the Bible tells us that he has schemes. Let me just announce to you, you don't have to study the devil. You don't have to study the schemes of the evil one. What you do is that you study the Lord. You lean on the Lord. You trust in the Lord, just like the Bible says here. And when you're trusting in the Lord, guess what? You have wisdom. Hey, when Solomon received wisdom, it says specifically in Scripture that he gave him a heart to hear him. And so you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is having ears to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Now, I want to announce something to you. This is great about New Covenant, see, what Jesus has done. When you accept Christ, according to what Jesus said, when you accept Christ, you get ears to hear. He said, my sheep know my voice. They'll not follow another. And so I want to tell you, part of the benefit of receiving Christ is having ears to hear. And so I'm telling you, he loves to give wisdom and discernment. And so you don't have to study the schemes of the enemy. You study the Lord. And as you study the Lord, he gives you wisdom. He gives you discernment about evil plots, about the slanders of the wicked that flies by the day. Hey, God's not shocked, because the schemes that the enemy is using today are the same ones he's used for thousands of years. Now, part of the reason he's using the same one for thousands of years is because they're still working. But the Bible says my people fail because of lack of knowledge. But you're receiving some knowledge about him. You see, it's the knowledge about him that makes the difference. It's not the knowledge of the, even with education, as much as we thank God for education. Education is not the most important emphasis. It's revelation. Okay? When you have revelation, you see him. And when you see him and know him, then I want to tell you, you have ears to hear. Somebody say amen. And so, listen, you say, well, okay, I got to admit, Pastor, that I have some fear. Well, welcome to the human race. There's a lot of fear. But let me just emphasize, you don't have to live there. You don't have to stay there. We understand you're getting there, okay, because, man, we're bombarded. Okay, there's attack on every hand, and we seem to be surrounded. But I want to tell you, you can turn from fear to faith because of his love. It's his love that compels us. Okay, it's his love that strengthens us. And when we get to know his love according to Scripture, his love will chase fear out the door. Okay, so it's not supposed to be a tormenting time. And you say, well, Brother Tim, where do I get started? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm glad you asked. Because it goes like this. Go back to verse 1, and you practice his presence. Go back to verse 2, and you practice professing and confessing who he is and what he does. And as you practice verse 1 and verse 2, and you appropriate verse 3 and verse 4, you meditate on this, you see it on the inside until it becomes evident on the outside, you practice verse 1 and 2 and appropriate 3 and 4 till you don't fear. That's not very deep, is it? But I want to tell you, it's not the fact that sets us free. It's practicing the fact that sets us free. It's practicing the truth. It's applying the truth. And so I'm telling you, if you are in fear and you have a fear problem, and a lot of people do, I want to tell you, this generation has more anxiety and more stress than any generation that's probably ever lived. And I'm talking about professionals that say this publicly, that this last couple years of just anxiety and fear has skyrocketed. Well, I'm here to say to you that Jesus is your way of escape. And even though it's normal to be affected by fear, and a lot of people are walking in fear, you don't have to. Because if you know Jesus, you're not a regular human. You have the Spirit of the living God inside of you. The Holy Spirit himself, one of his names is comfort. And I tell you, he will comfort you because he's the God of all comfort. He will comfort you with his love. And I want to tell you, his love will chase the fear away. But I want to tell you, let's practice the truth. Let's practice the truth until fear is gone. And you say, how will I know? It'll be obvious when fear is gone. Because you'll say this, you'll say, you know what? I don't have that tormenting thought. You know what? I haven't been disturbed all day. You know what happens with the Lord? It kind of dawns on you. And all of a sudden you recognize that, you know what? I'm free. And then you are walking in freedom. But I want to tell you, you practice the word, you practice his presence, you practice confessing and professing, you practice appropriating the word in your life until you get free. I'm amazed the amount of people that will just kind of take a stab at it and say, well, it didn't work for me. No, no, no. This is why that he's very, very clear in Scripture to say, keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. And as you keep on pursuing him, seeking him, you find him. And I want to tell you, he becomes not a word definition of peace. He becomes your personified peace. He becomes your peace. That's what he wants. Not for you to repeat a definition, but for you to declare him. And look what it says in verse 5. Then you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by the day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. So let me go ahead and say, because there are people that are absolutely so consumed with something bad happening that they meditate on events that could and may happen. And they picture in their mind events that could and may happen. I was called to a home one time years ago. You don't know who I'm talking about. Don't try to guess. And there was a mom that was so disturbed and upset. She was beside herself. Now, we would say in East Texas, she done marked off a spot and had a spell. She was so disturbed. And what it was is that her teens were now old enough. One was driving. And they would get in the car and they would go out. And the whole time they were gone, she would lose it. Until they got home. I mean to tell you, she was in a mess. And when I came over and sat down with her and finally got her at peace enough to even speak and talk, I asked her to describe what she was seeing in her mind. And she had all kind of views and scenarios of wrecks, and she could see them on the highway. She could see them bleeding. She could see the car all tore up and they're all tore up, and she could see a funeral. You understand? That's the way the enemy, that's one of his plots and one of his schemes. And when you meditate on disaster, when you meditate on tragedy, then I want to tell you, it sets a program in order. And your body and your emotions will respond to that program. And so I'm telling you, you got to change the program. And that's why the Bible says that we've got, as believers, the most important thing you can do except accept Christ as your personal Savior. After accepting Christ, the most important thing a believer can do is to renew your mind with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is so powerful, it will reprogram this computer to operate on the kingdom instead of the way of the world. Somebody say amen. Well, it took a little while. But I gave her some scenarios to meditate on, some scriptures to meditate on how the Lord protects, on how the Lord is our covering and he's our shield, and how the Lord has placed angels around them. And as she practiced the word, and she confessed the word, and she practiced enjoying the presence while her teens were gone, I want to tell you, she became a woman of great peace and great testimony. Anybody here believe that? Because that's the work of God. That's what God did for this mama, he can do for you. And so let me announce to you, based on verse 6, that destruction and tragedy is not in your path. Well, I'm telling you, I think I need to say it again. Tragedy and destruction is not on your path. According to the Word of God, since you're a believer, according to the Word of God, Psalm 23:6, as a matter of fact, says this, that only, somebody say only, goodness and mercy and unfailing love is on your path. As a matter of fact, God says that it's so important for him, for you to experience his mercy and his goodness and his unfailing love, that he will chase you down to make sure you get it. That's how amazing our loving Father is. Aren't you glad you're in covenant with Jesus Christ? Look at this, verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, My times. Y'all got to listen a little faster. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Somebody say amen. Only a spectator. Somebody circle that spectator. Somebody draw a stick figure of yourself on spectator. Because I want to tell you, if you're a spectator, you're not on the field of battle. Why? Because it's not your battle, it's the Lord's battle. Let it be the Lord's battle. You say, how do I do that? You practice verse 1. Practice his presence. You practice verse 2, professing and confessing who he is. You practice appropriating these verses, all right, and meditating on them and putting yourself till you come to a place of trust, till you come to a place of peace. Are you seeing this? And when that happens, the Lord says, it's not your battle, it's my battle, says the Lord. And you just stay there. You're a spectator, and you shall be yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. Okay, let's get a picture of this secret place. You know what it is. Here in this part of the world, we have those tornado shelters, you know. Come on. Those protective rooms. I love looking. As a matter of fact, there's some now that they build inside your garage. They're amazing, you know. Hey, those are safe rooms. They're storm shelters. They're a room bunker. They're a safe place, a safe room. Do you get the picture? This is what the Lord says, I will be that for you. Is there any safer storm shelter than being under his wing? Wow. And you'll witness the reward of the wicked. Verse 9 says this, because you've made the Lord. You see, I want to tell you, I just got to say it again. There's a lot of Christians that don't practice this because they're presuming it. I want to tell you, that's not a place of faith. I want to tell you what faith does. Faith interacts with Jesus. I'm not saying that every time I get out in my car or in the Red Hawk, and the Red Hawk's back, by the way, amen, but put the Red Hawk and I shoot it toward a direction here in Texas to go, man, I'm not saying every time I get in do I place my hand on it and just confess the blood of Jesus and I confess the shelter of the Lord and the angels. I don't do that every time, but I want to tell you, I want to be sensitive to his prompting. And I want to tell you, if you've ever flown with me, you'll notice that every time I get on a plane, as I enter in, I reach right up there and touch that plane and say, the blood of Jesus. Okay? A lot of times on my trips, I confess the blood of Jesus. I confess the divine protection of the Lord. And then, you know what I do? I don't drive super carefully, scared, spooky. Aggravates me when people say, you be careful out there now. No, I don't have to be care-filled. I'm free to enjoy my journey. Okay? And I want to tell you something. It's amazing. It's beautiful to see the protection of the Lord. We practice it. Practice it. Okay? Practice. It needs to be, the promises need to be appropriated. They need to be personally applied. Because you've made the Lord your refuge. Because you've practiced verse 1 and verse 2. And the Most High your dwelling place. There shall be no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Is that beautiful? You say, wait, you know, that doesn't seem real for 2022. The Word of God is more real than the news. I want to tell you something. You may say, well, that's not been my experience. The Word of God is a greater reality than your experience. Okay, now, let me take a few moments here. I want to encourage you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that believe. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who get sick. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who battle relationship problems in their home. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are experiencing trials and tribulations, because the Bible says they will come. And I want to tell you, if you get sick, we pray for you not to get sick. See, we practice faith to cover our people that they will not get sick. If you do get sick, we pray for you to recover quickly. If you do get sick and recovering quickly, we're praying that there will be no lasting symptoms, that you'll be free. And so that's what faith does. Faith believes the best. Now, if you want to be a part of a church that just absolutely quits and gives up and saying we're under the authority of a virus, or we're under the authority of sickness, or we're under the authority of a disturbed world, there's plenty. You can find one. But I'm telling you, that's not liberty and freedom. And that's not what Jesus died for. And you say, well, it's such a battle. It is a battle. Because we're in reigning training. Now, let me back up and say something. We don't walk perfectly. Look, I played 7 years of football. I never played a perfect game in all my life. I've never done anything perfectly. Do you understand? Oh, we even got a couple big amens on that. I thank you for knowing that to be true. Because it is true. But let me doubt something to you. We're learners. Okay? Learners are overcomers. And so you know what it is? If you get sick, then I want to tell you, we're standing beside you. No condemnation. We're standing beside you. We got compassion. We stand with you because we know it could be us next. And so we have faith and stand by one another. We love one another. But I want to tell you something. So what it is that, you know what? We keep growing. We don't have it all figured out. But I've left the line of scrimmage. We don't have it all figured out, but I'm moving toward the goal line. And I want to tell you, if you settle for sickness, you'll get it. If you settle for disturbance in your home, you'll get it. Let's believe the Lord. I want to tell you what would be so exciting is for believers to believe the Bible. Let's just believe the Bible. Keep walking. You get sick, Bible says that a righteous man falls six times, or seven times, but the Lord will get him back up. And so what we say is that we love you, we love you, we love you, we help you recover, but get back up. Get back to the line of scrimmage, get back in the huddle, down, sit. If or when you do get sick or you get disturbance in your home, don't quit. As a matter of fact, if you're sick, pursue the healer. It's possible to even pursue healing and miss him. But pursue the healer. You get the healer, you got the healing. And so practice seeking the healer. Practice seeking the one that restores. He's the God of restoration. Seek him. He's the one that refreshes us. And by practicing what we see in verse 9, and that in the person in verse 9 is the one who's practiced verse 1 and 2, then I want to tell you, let's go for it. I got confronted, you know, I get confronted every now and then. And I got confronted by a pastor, and he said, I guess you just one of these faith preachers. And I don't take no offense to it, okay? And I just smiled and loved him back, and I said, are you a doubt preacher? Come on now. I mean, sometimes we need to back up and decide where we are. And he backed up again and he said, so I guess you would call yourself a prosperity preacher. And so I asked him, well, are you a poverty preacher? You kind of see where I'm going here? So you call yourself a healer? I said, no, I don't call myself a healer. Jesus is the healer. But if you get sick, I'm going to pray for your healing, not for you to be comforted while you die. Because we've seen the Lord heal, and the Lord loves to heal, and that's his heartbeat. And he said, well, I'm not a healing preacher. I said, well, are you a sickness preacher? I'm just sharing with you, okay? I know I'm making a little fun with it. But, you know, what is your heartbeat? It needs to be God's heartbeat. And we've got more to preach than a sad sack mentality of just suffering and waiting and in misery till Jesus comes. The Bible says, Jesus said, I come that they might have life to the abundance. Does that sound like sad sack living to you? I'm telling you, that means there's a whole lot more. Do we understand it all yet? No. Do we even know what all he died for yet? No, we're learning. But let's learn together. And when one of us stumbles, don't throw stones at him or don't hit him with Bibles. Let's help each other. And may I say, if you do fall and you do stumble or you get sick and they're disappointed, well, welcome. Okay? But there's no condemnation to you. For you to feel like a failure is a lie, and it's coming straight from hell. It's not from God. Wow. Okay, I got a minute here to cover. Okay, listen. Here we go. It's not by yourself. Don't think that you have to do it by yourself. God is with you, for he will give his angels special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways. In some of your ways? In a little bit of your ways. Only the ways where you're perfect? Thank you. That saved a lot of preaching right there. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you shall dash your foot against a stone. Now, I fell a number of years ago. I took a fall, a tumble, and man, ended up a week in the hospital, surgery on my leg, all kind of powerful antibiotics shooting through my system trying to kill an infection. They told me if it was 100 years ago, they'd cut off my leg. But you know that my leg was saved. I give glory to God. Thank him that he uses doctors and medicine too. And so I come out of that and you say, well, what happened to you? Well, I became more determined to learn about healing than ever before. I had some people come over after one of my carburetor workovers. People come over, oh, we're so sorry this happened to you. I said, man, who are you talking to? Man, the Lord's preserved my life. The Lord's left me here for another day. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I've got a lot to do to minister the kingdom. I'm still here today, may not be tomorrow. But while I'm here today, and I want to tell you, I tried to encourage them and get them on down the road. Don't come over to my house. Oh, no, we ain't got time for that. Excuse me for being plain, and I'm out of time, so let me read on. Verse 13 says, you will tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Let me just announce to you, those names are different images of the enemy because he shows up in different forms and different ways. But however the enemy shows up, I'm announcing to you because of the cross, crucifixion, and the resurrection, the Bible says that Jesus is sitting on the throne of victory and he's placed the enemy under our feet. If they're under the feet of Jesus, they're under our feet because we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Wow. I want to preach on that. Look at verse 14 because I got to finish. Will you give me three more verses and just short comment, okay? I'm going to put it personally. Because you have set your love upon Jesus. That's verse 14. I want you to catch it. I don't have time to break it down. Because you have set your love upon Jesus. Do you see relationship there? You know what happens when you have love life? You get greater revelation. And the Bible says, therefore, I will deliver him. Now, I want to tell you why he delivers us is because troubles still come. Don't you ever, ever, ever think that you get so spiritual that trouble don't come. I don't think, and this is personal, I haven't studied it all, and there's people here that know more about it than I do and don't agree with me. I don't think the church is going to go through tribulation, but I am very, very sure of that. We're going to go through troubles before the great tribulation. But I want to tell you, Jesus is always our rescue. That's what he said. He said, I will deliver him. I will set him up on high. Say, God will exalt me. I want to tell you, you don't exalt yourself. God exalts you. The way to be exalted in the kingdom of God, the way up is down. You humble yourself and God will raise you up. It's not like the world where they stomp on everybody and step on everybody and talk mean and cruel about everybody else so that they can get it. No, no, no. That's not the way the kingdom operates. Because he knows and understands my name. Listen to this. This is so precious. He has a personal knowledge of my mercy, my love, and kindness. Do you hear relationship there? You see, this is more than reciting a scripture. This is relationship. See, the power is not in reciting. It's not some kind of a magic thing. It's relationship with Him. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to say this real quick. The rabbis of old had a statement about Psalm 91. And they would tell people, if you will recite Psalm 91 seven times, you'll be healed. Now, I'm not going there. Because it's interaction. And it's relationship. But I will say this. I think what they were pointing to is that if you take the time to go over it seven times, you have an opportunity to connect. You have the opportunity for it to die. Is anybody listening? Okay, I'm not throwing stones. I'm just trying to emphasize something here. And he trusts and he relies on me. Knowing, do we talk about having confident trust? Do you have confident trust today? See, that's what faith is. I will never forsake Him, no, never. If you're confident, and no matter what comes, God loves me, and He'll never forsake me. He'll never let go of me. Come on. Man, I got some other stuff, and I don't have time. Okay, verse 15, He shall call upon me, and I will answer Him. Do you hear relationship on that? I will be with Him in trouble. Trouble still comes, but He's promised we will overcome. I will deliver Him and honor Him. You know what He's saying here? Trouble comes. But I want to tell you, as we grow in the Lord, is anyone here interested in being sick less often? Is anybody here interested in being rescued quicker? Is anybody here interested in being more aware of His healing and protection and His love than sickness and fear? Disturbance? It's the Jesus factor. That's what you need to put on Psalm 91. It's the Jesus factor. With long life, oh, I love this, will I satisfy Him? Now, let me tell you, I know some older people who are miserable and make everybody else miserable. That's not what God's talking about. Okay? I'm trying to smile. It's true. But I'm trying to smile about it. With long life, will I satisfy Him? Let me tell you something. If you're content in the Lord, you're a blessing to other people. And the Lord says He will satisfy. If you're satisfied in the Lord, then it doesn't matter what comes or what doesn't come. Hey, whether you're with or without, I want to tell you, you're a blessed person and you know it. With long life will I satisfy Him, and get this now, and show Him my salvation. I'm ending right now. I'm telling you what the Lord promises. With love life with Him, there's continual revelation of Him. I want to tell you, it's so exciting to know, as the Lord tarries, that 10 years from now, you'll have a greater picture of Jesus than you do right now. Greater level of enjoyment. Come on, somebody. We'll know Him even better. We'll love Him even more. We'll know how to receive His love more. And I want to tell you, a greater revelation to behold His glory will be transformed from glory to glory. I want to tell you, 10 years later, as we walk in His love, we're going to be different than we are right now. We're going to be more like Him. Somebody give a shout. Amen. That's what abundant life is. Well, I love you so much. I went a little over. Let me pray for you. I want to tell you, there's so much here. We want to continue here next week. And I'm going to give you something that I think will help you have a handle. Would you like to have a handle to carry this with? I think we can cover that next week, okay? Father, thank You so much. Thank You for the power of Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word is simple and straightforward. Thank You, Lord, that we can say yes to Your Word, even if we don't understand how it all works. Our trust is in You. Thank You, Lord, that our faith has been given to us by You, and that it's good faith, and that it's more than enough to say yes to You. Thank You, Lord, that You want to walk us into greater levels of protection, greater levels of abundant living, greater levels of walking in and appropriating your promises. Lord, we bless your holy name. We are a blessed people, and it's such an honor to be sheep in your pasture. We give you praise, and we give you glory. Lord, we want to know you in a deeper way. And all the saints said, let's give the Lord a hand clap, give him a shout, amen. We give thanks to the Lord.